Welcome back to the Bitcoin Layer. I'm Nick Bhatia. In today's global markets update, we're going to look at yields, stocks, oil, gold, and of course, Bitcoin. What's going on in financial markets? What should we be expecting with Wednesday's CPI inflation reading? And with the Fed locked in for a September rate cut, what is the path of interest rates more broadly? Where are mortgage rates going? Let's get into all of it today. All right, today we are going to cover only weekly candles. In this way, we are looking at the markets on a zoomed out basis. We'll get at least a couple years of total price action with each chart and really start to get into each individual narrative. How are markets positioned today versus where they were 6 months, 12 months ago, and what is the outlook? So let's start first on two-year yields. Now, you guys see this rounding top in orange that we've had on the two-year yield chart for many months since the last couple months of 2023. That rounding top has broken down, as well as this ascending trend line for the yield since late 2022. What does that mean? The period of higher for longer is over. The Fed was able to keep policy rates at 5.5% for just over a year. It's admirable, but now they are going to go into easing. They're going to be lowering policy rates by at least 1% here over the next few meetings. And in that way, they'll get the policy rate down into the fours. And our base case expectation at the Bitcoin layer is that policy rates are headed into the threes. That means we're going to get about 2% of rate cuts at the very least. Now, why do we believe that we're heading to 2% of rate cuts as opposed to maybe 50 basis points or 1%? The reason we believe rates are headed back to 3.5% is this idea of restrictive. Now, the Fed has for a long time said that the 5.5% Fed funds rate is beyond the restrictive level that they need. And so if inflation is slowing due to a 5.5% policy rate, we can expect the Fed to lower the rate in order to bring inflation back toward where it wants it to be. But by bringing the policy rate down from 5.5% to 5%, it doesn't take it out of restrictive territory. Neither does taking it from 5.5% to 4.5%. And so if the economy is actually going to weaken, and you are going to see unemployment spike to the point where the Fed has to get easy with policy, 4.5% Fed funds is not going to cut it. And actually, 3.5% Fed funds is not easy policy. It's just not restrictive anymore. And so don't be surprised. This is really the message we want to drive home to you guys, because for many months, the financial media has been telling you that we are maybe at higher for longer for years, or that the Fed won't be lowering rates dramatically anytime soon. Or here's a headline we'll see: mortgage rates will never come back to where they were before. Now, with Treasury yields at 0% during the early months of the pandemic and mortgage rates falling below 3%, we don't really expect that to happen anytime soon, meaning that's not our base case. It's definitely a possibility, meaning, you know, there's potentially a 10% chance that rates come all the way back down to zero. So now, even though we expect rates to come down, potentially not all the way down to 0%, we want you to factor in this idea that just cutting rates by 1% is actually going to do nothing. So the dream that the Fed is going to lower rates by 1%, it really is, it's a mirage. So that's why we want you to have your base case expectation of rates coming from 5.5% to 3.5%. I don't have a great time horizon for you. It's hard to know. But what I do believe is that the Fed will eventually have to come into territory in which policy is easy. And right now, when it goes from 5 to 5.5 to 5.25 to 5 to 4.5, that is not rates being easy. It's just less restrictive. And you'll even hear them say that when they try to talk out of both sides of their mouth and say that they're still worried about inflation. That's why they're not cutting rates so fast. So remember, the Fed, because the Fed has a dual mandate publicly facing, one being employment and the other being inflation, we know the third mandate is financial stability. Policymakers are admitting that, but we know that even implicitly that the S&P 500 is part of the Fed's mandate in that they can't allow it to crash. They have to do something when it is crashing. That is basically disguised by this term financial stability. So the Fed has all these mandates, but they will be talking out of both sides of their mouth when they're cutting rates, because they'll want to say a few things. Number one, they're cutting rates because the economy is slowing. Okay. They're cutting rates because inflation is slowing. Okay. But they'll also say, we're not cutting rates that much because we're still somewhat worried about inflation. So this is the Fed just hedging. If it was really going by what's happening in the economy, it would follow market rates. And so market rates shot up way before the Fed hiked back in 2021, 22, and they fell much before the Fed cut rates. We know the Fed isn't going to cut rates for another month, but rates started falling several months ago and intensified this month. So where would the Fed not be behind the curve? Bringing the policy rate to where two-year yields are, which, as we see on the screen, are at 4% today. So a 150 basis point inversion of two-year yields to the upper bound of the Fed funds rate, that implies that the Fed is going to be cutting by 1.5% here sometime over the next 2 years. And we absolutely agree with that, and we would probably be biased to seeing more rate cuts. You guys know that we are expecting policy rates to fall down into the three handle. The Bitcoin Layer is proud to be sponsored by Unchained, the leader in Bitcoin financial services. Unchained empowers you to take full control of your Bitcoin with a collaborative multi-sig vault where you hold 2 of 3 keys and you gain a Bitcoin security partner. Purchase Bitcoin directly into your Unchained account via their trading desk, avoiding all exchange risks. Unchained also offers the best retirement products in the industry. Easily roll over your IRA or 401k while keeping control of your keys. And Unchained is running a special right now until August 15th. This is a limited time offer, $1,745 off of a Bitcoin IRA, free for the first year, and no onboarding fees and no setup fees. Use the promo code AUGUSTIRA when you create an account. Imagine losing your Bitcoin to a house fire or accidental damage. A nightmare, right? It's estimated that 30% of Bitcoin is lost forever. Poor seed phrase security is a big reason why. That's why we use Stampseed, a DIY kit that allows you to hammer your seed phrase into a durable plate of titanium using professional stamping tools. These plates are made of fire-resistant titanium of up to 3,000 degrees. They are rust-proof, crush-proof, and time-proof. It comes in one solid piece, so it's compact and easy to hide, and the full C words are hammered deep into these small titanium plates. Stampseed is specially designed with patented tools from knowledge of working inside metal stamping for over 14 years. Don't risk your Bitcoin security. Get Stampseed today at stampseed.com, and don't forget to use the promo code TBL for 15% off of your order. In 2024, your phone isn't just for calls. It's your digital fortress. Data breaches at major carriers are on the rise, putting your sensitive information at constant risk. SIM swaps and identity theft are at all-time highs. Enter Ifani, your ultimate shield against digital threats. Ifani delivers premium mobile service with unparalleled protection against SIM swaps and privacy invasions. Safeguard your crypto assets and personal data with the industry's most advanced security measures. Protect yourself now. If you value privacy and security, Ifani Secure Mobile is the answer. Don't wait until it's too late. Protect yourself today and use code TBL for $99 off the Ifani Safe plan. So looking at the technical analysis, just one more second here on 2-year yields. The fall below the ascending yellow trend line is it's basically the nail in the coffin for the bear market in short-term treasuries. We're now in a bull market. Anybody that is looking at bills versus 2-year yields, that equation is going to flip on them sometime in the next year. So right now, it pays more to stay in bills and roll those bills when they mature. So if bills are at 5% and twos are at 4%, obviously you would rather have 5%. But the reason why twos are at 4, even though bills are at 5, is those 2-year investors think bills will be at 3 next year. You have to understand that is the arbitrage that goes on in the front end of the market. Obviously, you would rather have 5% yield than 4% yield. But if you can lock in 4% yield today, you are locking in the yield you believe will be advantageous to you over the full time horizon of that instrument. Meaning that in 1.5 years, if the Fed has cut drastically, bill rates might be at 2.5%, which is fully possible, by the way. Okay, in 1 year, bill yields could be at 2.5%. It wouldn't surprise me at all. We expect them to be somewhere in the threes in the next year plus. So if bill yields are at 2.5% in 1.5 years, great, you were getting 5% for the first few months, but then you started to get 4.5, then 4, then 3.5, then 3, now 2.5. You're getting 2.5%, but you could have locked in 4%. And so that is why this inversion, twos being at 4%, even though the policy rate is still at 5.5%, it is that trade-off that investors are making. I want to lock in my yield of 4 today because bills will be at 3 or 2 next year. That's why I buy twos here today at 4%. So that interest rate arbitrage is a very important concept, something you guys have to understand, as well as why curves are inverted. Look at 10-year yield also below 4%. Would you rather have bills at 5.5% or tens at 3.75%? Obviously, some investors say tens because they think bills might be at 1% or that twos might be at 1% in a couple years. So let me lock in that 3.75% now. So that arbitrage, that difference between the different points on the term structure of interest rates, it is such a loud signal that it's so important to look at the shape of the curve and how the shape of the curve is changing, which we will do here shortly. Okay, enough time on money markets. Let's focus now more on treasuries in the 10-year part of the curve. I mentioned here that tens are below 4%, 3.9 right now, the close here on Monday, August 12th. Special birthday wish to my wife. Happy birthday. Now, when we look at the 10-year yield falling, we think about this 4.25 to 4.25 area that we were chopping around. Yields were bouncing above, below, 4.25, 4.25. They had a swift move down. They broke their trend line, and now we are in this bull market range for 10-year yields and the whole treasury curve, really. So you're in a bull market. Why? Because growth expectations are falling and inflation worries have basically disappeared. And so the reason to buy treasuries and lock in 4% yield, it gets stronger and stronger as the days go by. Now, I also want to mention here that the steepening of the yield curve, which we're going to talk about here in a second, The steepening of the yield curve hasn't happened to the extent that people have been expecting. And that is because there is a premium on 10-year treasuries that the market is not willing to relinquish. Why would you buy a 10-year treasury at 3.9% when you could buy a bill at 5.5%? For an investor that it doesn't have much expectation of change, obviously you go with the bill. But if you're an investor that believes rates are going to be cut by 4% over the next couple years, 3.9% on a 10-year yield is a steal. It's a gift. Okay, instead of focusing here, guys, on the death of the dollar or the death of the treasury security as a reserve asset and looking at auctions, treasury auctions that haven't gone so well time and time again, you just have to look at the yield. Okay, when the yield is falling on treasuries, it means that there is a demand for that part of the curve. And that part of the curve is seeing a demand for one reason and one reason only. The threat of inflation is gone. And so why aren't we seeing a dramatic re-steepening of the yield curve? And let's go to the yield curve chart now. The yield curve has broken out and it's near zero. And we expect it to steepen to the point where the 2-year yield is less than the 10-year yield. But why isn't it less than the 10-year yield yet? Twos, as we saw, are at 4. Tens are at 3.9. So if policy rates come down, the Fed cuts by 2%, and twos get to 3.5, does that mean that tens go to 4 or 4.5, and we get a yield curve of 50 to 100 basis points steep? Versus the negative 10, 11 basis points that we are at today? Not necessarily, and let me tell you why. The only way that the yield curve can actually steepen is if growth expectations in the future exceed the growth expectations of today. Now, how are growth expectations going to go up in the future? And inflation expectations going to go up in the future? Easy policy. So is policy easy enough to send that growth expectation higher? No, the market is telling you physically no by having still an inverted yield curve. But if yields on the front end come all the way down to 2%, like let's say the Fed cuts rates by 3.5% over the next year, which again, it's possible. Don't be surprised if that happens. The Fed cuts rate by 3.5%. What's going to happen to growth expectations? They're going to go up because now we have an entire economy that can refi at 2 versus 5. The 3% that it's going to save on interest expense is going to be enough to get the consumers going and the business spending going. Confidence, that's the name of the game. And so you will not see a yield curve that is 1% steep until the Fed has done enough. So that is really the point that I'm trying to make here. You won't see the steepening until the Fed has cut enough. And so you won't see the steepening until the Fed cuts 2 to 3%. 1%, as the market has priced in for September, November, and December, only 3 meetings and you're still pricing in 1% of cuts. So that means that one of those meetings is going to have a 50 basis point cut. A 50 basis point cut. Do you think that that means the Fed is confident everything is okay, or they're actually a little worried? A 50 basis point cut at some time in the next 3 months will show that the Fed is a little nervous. But is it enough to get the curve steep? No, the curve is still inverted. It means the market expecting 1% is saying, hey, Fed, we see you're going to cut by 1, but it's still not enough to steepen the curve out. So the market wants more cuts. Do not, I repeat, do not listen to analysis talking about treasury auctions going poorly when yields have fallen. Go back to the 10-year chart for 1 second. Yields were at 5.02% in October. October is approximately 10 months in the rearview mirror. Yields are at 3.9%. Now, on a 9-year duration sensitivity on this 10-year instrument, a move from 5.0 to 3.9 is a 10% profit on treasuries in the 10-year part of the curve. Okay? So holders or buyers at the dip here at the low point in treasury price and the high point in yield at 5%, buyers of treasuries at 5% have made 10% on their money. Okay? It's not a huge profit by Bitcoin standards or by the stock market, but by treasuries, it's a nice trade. So treasuries are up 10% on price over the last 10 months. Show me where poor auctions are affecting the price of treasuries. They are not. Treasury auction doomers are giving you only a portion of the story. They are completely misleading you by showing you that one auction went poorly versus the price in the minute before, because that's how treasury auctions work. If you buy a painting painted by Leonardo da Vinci, the odds of that painting trading more than once a decade are extremely slim. It means the price of the auction for that Leonardo da Vinci painting is going to be high signal. It's going to have all the information in the price. If that painting sold for $5 million, we would probably say, hey, there's something wrong with that da Vinci. But if it sold for $100 million, you would say that's probably in line with the market. But if a treasury auction goes poorly, and then the next morning you have an inflation release that comes back weak, meaning that inflation has fallen, and then yields go down by 20 basis points, and every single person who bought in the auction and thought that they got a bad auction or that it went poorly, the next day they've already made all of their money back and more. Tell me how the poor auction yesterday actually matters. Okay, so when we think about auctions, don't just look at one auction and say, oh, something is happening in the treasury market. We are going to need Fed money printing to make up for this. That's not based in any reality whatsoever, especially with yields falling by 110 basis points over the last 10 months. I know yields went up a lot in 2022 and 2023. Why did they go up? Inflation. Inflation, inflation. If there's inflation, you don't want fixed income. If there's inflation, you want growth. If there's disinflation, you want fixed income. And so don't think in the Bitcoiner terms in that the treasury security is just losing value over. Of course it's losing value versus Bitcoin. Of course it's losing value versus gold. And of course it's losing value versus the stock market. But versus zero, the fixed income world benefits from disinflation, and one treasury auction going poorly or going well doesn't mean anything. Look at the price, okay? The price, meaning look at the yield, and that is the best judge of what is happening in fixed income and in the treasury market. Let's talk about the dollar really quickly. We have weekly candles on the dollar here, and what do you see? The last couple years, it's all chop on the dollar. Breaking out, breaking back down below, the dollar is in a very, very narrow range. As yields come down in the US, it will diminish the attractiveness of the dollar versus global currencies. But still, even with yields falling in the US, the dollar has remained bid. There is a strength that is embedded in the dollar right now. It can't really break down even though yields are breaking down. So we think that's something very important to watch. Remember that the US is constantly getting the risk off bid from other countries. When other countries experience financial crisis, stock market crash, their currencies go down and the dollar rallies versus those currencies. So the dollar needs to be watched. If it gets too strong, that's a tight global financial condition on the world. But we really see the Fed in its rate cuts not allowing the dollar to strengthen. So that might be a policy move. It might be politically motivated. But we know that the Fed doesn't want the dollar to strengthen too much. And so rate cuts are the path of least resistance. Stock market, the weekly candles here have a bearish hint on the chart. So I'm going to show you what I mean by that. The S&P 500 has made a higher high from April to July. Okay, in April, it reached approximately 5,300. And in July, 5,700. So a higher high. But what do you have hiding on the RSI? The RSI is a momentum indicator. You have a lower high. And this is called bearish divergence. It means a higher high on price, but a lower high on momentum. It means that the trend is experiencing possibly some exhaustion. So we are not here to predict the path forward of the U.S. stock market and the S&P 500, but we should flag and warn you that the bearish divergence on the S&P 500 reaching a very elevated all-time high relative to the April one with a lower momentum reading is not bullish. Okay, it is bearish and it's basically a swing point. So if we were a trading service, we would be looking at the all-time high in the S&P 500 as some sort of risk management level, that now that you have a bearish divergence off of that level, it should be treated like a short position with the stop loss at that level. Now remember, this is not financial advice and we're not recommending that trade whatsoever. What we're showing you is that our research tells us that divergences on price and RSI are something to watch. The bearish divergence on the Bitcoin 2021 price action, when it hit above 60 and then it reached 70 later that year, it was on a massively declining momentum reading. And after the fact, hindsight is 2020, hindsight told us that the November, that late 2021 high, second high in Bitcoin was a top that should be treated as a local top and traded off of that. So divergences are very important. We will continue to watch and, you know, of course, if the S&P 500 breaks back above the all-time high, then that bearish divergence is violated. That's why we're thankful we're not operating a hedge fund here and instead being your research resource for asset allocation. Going to crude oil, let's look at the chart on crude. Lower highs on crude for the last several years, 130, then 120. Then we had one at 100, one in the mid-90s, one in the low 90s. And right now we're in the low 80s on crude oil. Crude can't catch a bid. And this is despite wars in two energy-sensitive parts of the world going on for quite a while. Almost a couple years here now that we stretch back to the Russian invasion in Ukraine. So with wars going on in the Middle East and in Eastern Europe, energy can't catch the bid. And that should tell you something about the global economy and the state of inflation. It's muted. And that is why yields are also muted and depressed and going lower. You have to put everything in context. And low energy prices, or oil that is not spiking off of missiles in the air in the Middle East, is telling you a very, very loud signal. We've mentioned gold. Gold is here closing at an all-time high on a closing basis, $2,500 for 1 ounce of the yellow metal. This is in the face of the dollar not weakening that much, so impressive from that perspective. It's in the face of declining inflation, which is noteworthy because gold hasn't really performed that well as an inflation hedge. It is, however, performing extremely well as a hedge against the expansion of liquidity, and that is the expansion of the banking balance sheets across the world. Right now, the gold price is telling us something that is very interesting. It is potentially a regime shift somewhere in the cracks of the financial system, something with China, and potentially something to do with Russia, something to do with gold accumulation. So with gold reaching these new all-time highs, it is bullish for Bitcoin. It's only that Bitcoin is not trading in the same way that gold is. They have a relationship. And so something that benefits gold over the long term should benefit Bitcoin, even though Bitcoin is trading more with stocks than it is gold. But we might see Bitcoin and gold trade together. We'll continue to watch those cross-asset correlations. TBL Pro members are able to do that consistently with our mean, median, mode, our weekly quantitative report, but also all subscribers in our free weekly newsletter every Saturday are also able to capture these correlation matrices to track where assets are trading in relation to each other. So definitely go check us out, thebitcoinlayer.com/subscribe. Now, I promised we were going to get into the Bitcoin chart. I have the chart up here for you. These are weekly candles once again. Now, I have three trend lines, a descending trend line that connects the all-time high from earlier this year in March with some consecutive lower highs. So a descending trend right now in Bitcoin. This is coming off of basically this enormous 4x move that we got off of the 2022 lows. So Bitcoin, lower highs, and then I have two ascending trend lines. One of them goes somewhat between the trend of 2023 and connects the beginning of this bull market with the huge wick that we saw last week with Bitcoin touching 49,000 on an intraday basis. Now, I have another trend line that connects that same starting of the bull market with the dip that we saw just right before the SEC lost its lawsuit to Grayscale in the fall of 2023. Now, here's the surprising thing about this chart. If you scoot it over and you actually see when these trend lines intersect, they're not until mid to late 2025. So does the chart potentially suggest that Bitcoin could chop between 50,000 and 70,000 for another 6 months? Yes, it does. And I know that's probably the opposite of exciting, especially for the Bitcoin longs out there. But if we were to just extend these trend lines, the consolidation chop could last for the rest of this year going into next year. If we got a breakdown below this middle ascending trend line, we could see a consolidation. And why might we see that? Let's say we go into a deep recession, stock markets absolutely crater, right? We saw the bearish divergence on the S&P. That should be a warning. We're not giving you investment advice to go long or to go short. But if you are long Bitcoin, because we suspect many of you are long Bitcoin, you want to know the risks. You want to know why it's correlated with the stock market, even though you think it shouldn't be. You want to know why it's going down when gold is going up. Why is it going down when the dollar is going down? Why is it going down when the economy is weak and we might be getting money printing sometime in the next year? It's going down because Bitcoin is a financial asset, and it is very interwoven now into the algorithms of the financial markets. So if Bitcoin broke down alongside stocks in a deep recession and a stock market wipeout, which shouldn't be something that, it basically should be something that is in your range of expectations so that you're not taken off guard, taken really by surprise if this happens, it could trade back down to the low 40s and take months to repair before it builds up enough base and consolidation to make another charge back up to the all-time high. So you have to take in the risk, the correlations with other asset classes, and the trend lines, because they matter a lot, especially for traders that are looking to manage risk. So even though we're all rooting for all-time highs, and you will get them, and probably swiftly, if you break 72 to 75,000 and Bitcoin really gets a bullish wave and gets going above 75, nothing is going to stop that momentum. But where is that momentum? It's nowhere to be found at the moment. There are headwinds that come from global macro. These were headwinds that we were citing in 2022. They are definitely back. And the difference is that in 2022, we were staring down rate hikes and higher yields. Now, we're staring down lower yields and rate cuts, but it's because the situation is bad. And because the situation is bad, we can't just expect stocks and Bitcoin to rally on a little bit of rate cuts, because the rate cuts are actually a response to how bad things currently are. So that's why we watch the Fed path as closely as anything, because where the market has the Fed priced is the best indication of where the market believes the economy is heading. And the worse that is, the worse it is for risk assets like stocks. And the worse the situation is for stocks, the more likely Bitcoin is to trade to the downside with stocks. Stocks can potentially catch a bid on an extreme amount of money printing, but you guys have to understand also that money printing is not what's next. What's next is shallow rate cuts, then deep rate cuts, then a full pause of QT, then QE. Okay, so even though you can see it at the end of the tunnel, it's quite blurry. QE is still quite blurry. So that's why when we think about bullish impulses for Bitcoin, we think about QE. But if it's four steps away, that means it's probably several Federal Reserve meetings away. Thanks for sticking with us today at the Bitcoin Layer, and we'll catch you next time.